Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Devarim Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Devarim. Our Aliyah is 17 psukim long and runs from Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis to Lamed Ches, which is essentially 17 psukim long. And our main idea is the spies, the Meraglim, take two. We saw take one in Parshas Shlach. Now we have a different version of it. Let's take a look at a very brief summary and then we'll take some deeper points to ponder. First, we hear that Moshe Rabbeinu recounts how everyone came in front of him. They remember they're on the cusp of going to the land of Israel. And everybody comes in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, let's send spies to the land to see which way we should enter the land. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu says it was good in my eyes. And so he chose a leader from each tribe, and they went up to the mountain, and they went through the valley of Eshkol, and they spied out the land. They took the fruit from the land, they returned, they reported, the land is very good, they said. But then they didn't want to go in, and they started rejecting the word of Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu accuses them of saying bad stories in their tents behind his back about Hashem bringing us out of Egypt to kill us in the desert in the hands of the Amorites. And the people then believed them and got upset. They said, where are we going? Our brothers melted our hearts. And the people are swayed by the emotional presentation made by the Meraglim, by the spies. And Moshe pleaded with them, saying, don't fear them. Hashem has fought for you up till now. And He brought you out of Egypt. He'll be in front of you, just as he was all the way through here. And Moshe Rabbeinu even points to the fact that throughout the desert, Hashem has been carrying you like a father carries his very own son. And yet you still don't believe in him, with the fire traveling in front of you at night and the cloud during the day. What's going on? Hashem hears about this debacle and becomes extremely angry, and then makes the statement, makes the Shavua, the oath, that none of the people of this generation will enter the good land which was sworn to the patriarchs to receive, except for Kalev ben Yefune, who will receive the land which he walked on. That was in the area of Hebron, which he visited. And Hashem got angry with Moshe as well. Gam b'yisanav Hashem. Hashem also got angry with Moshe because of the nation of Israel, saying that Moshe Rabbeinu will not enter the land. Rather, Yoshua will lead the nation in. So this is the Aliyah. A lot of curious facts to consider. Number one is, if you look at Parshas Shlach, the basic difference between this version and the version in Parshas Shlach is that in Shlach, it starts off by Hashem saying, Shlach lecha anashim. You should send for yourself men. So Hashem initiates with a command. In this case, it sounds like the leaders were the ones who initiated, the people were the ones who initiated, and Moshe Rabbeinu responded. So we have two very different versions. And so, as the Mephoreshim point out, we need to cobble together the story with the two sets of narratives, because they each inform us of the more complex and multifaceted narrative that it really was. So the stage of affairs, as Rashi explains it, is that the people first approached Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that it was a good idea, and he approached Hashem, and Hashem said, you can send them. So then the question is, so why would Hashem approve something which is bad? The answer really is because Hashem is going to lead the people in the way that they choose to lead themselves. Hashem gives human beings the license of free will, and that license means they can do terrible things. And if they do terrible things and they ask Hashem, should I do a terrible thing? Hashem will say, go for it, because that's the whole point of free will. Why would Moshe approve of something which is bad? So Rashi says, well, Moshe got the sense this wasn't good, but it's like a salesman. So Rashi gives the example of a donkey salesman. We can give the equivalent of a car salesman. But the point is, imagine somebody comes in and says, you know, I'd like to see this car. And you say, oh, no problem. They say, can I take it for a test drive? You say, oh, no problem. It says, does it do well in, you know, on steep hills? Yeah, no problem whatsoever. How about long highways through the sun? No problem whatsoever. How does it do on the coastal region? Oh, it's actually very good on the turns. So the more that the salesman's confident about what they're selling, the less concerned the buyer may be. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the people were somewhat concerned about the product, which is the land of Israel. And if he were to be a little more conservative and say, no, take it or leave it, Hashem said it's good, then they're going to start getting a little concerned or suspicious. If Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to say, oh, it's good, it's fantastic, you can go in even if you want to, then perhaps that confidence will have the effect of them not really wanting to go in the first place, because they realize that Moshe Rabbeinu is confident about it. That's the example that Rashi gives as well. Now, is chaos a good thing or a bad thing? So Rashi actually makes a fascinating comment. He says, when it says, "Vatikrivun alei kulchem," all of you came towards me, Rashi says that isn't a good thing. Birubuvia, it was in chaos. It was not appropriate. Later on, we'll see in Devarim Perek Hay, which is next week's parasha in Vayeschanan, but it says by Matan Torah, "Vatikrivu alei kol roshei shifteichem v'zikneichem," that all the elders and the statesmen came forward to me then, using the same words, "Vatikrivun," but instead of it all being all of you, it was in order. in legions. So Rashi says here it was inappropriate because it was young people pushing the old people and everybody was shoving and it was inappropriate. So the chaos is incorrect. That's the upshot of this. So the Sfas Emes, the Gera Rebbe says, maybe it's the opposite way around. Maybe actually the notion of chaos is better in this case. Meaning to say, when is there chaos? When is everybody running to get into the entrance? When it's something important to them. And you know what? What's interesting is if you contrast this, is what Rashi is saying, is you contrast this to Matan Torah. Everybody arrived regally in their camps, organized. Okay, they're going to come. You know, they have to come to Matan Torah. But when it came to the Meraglim, they're all rushing to get there. Wherever you rush shows what matters to you. And if what matters to you more is sending off the spies, which you aren't commanded to, which actually questions the word of Hashem, that's a little bit of a problem. It should be, we should wonder, where are we running? What is important to us? Where is there chaos in our lives because we're excited about something, and where is there not because we're just doing it because. Now, what went so wrong with the Meraglim? Another question. Why did this go so far awry? The Ramban explains that at first they presented it as a good land, and they said the inheritance are strong. At which point, Kalev and Yoshua countered by saying, well, Hashem will help us fight them. At which point they started back-channeling with rumors among the tents, and that's what this version of the story tells us. And so at this point they started influencing, you know, social media circuits, you know, not relating to the authorities or the administration as to what the narrative should be, but just, you know, publishing half facts on their blog spots, and that would really sort of set the whole motion in progress. And then once the wildfire left, you know, then at that point in time everybody was consumed by it. The Sforno also points out that at this point they displayed their real agenda. Moshe thought that it was a given that they were going into the land, and their mission was just to work out which was the best way in. But at this point in time, they have now shown their cards and they make it clear that their question was not whether or not they should go this way or that way, but whether or not they wanted to go in the first place, which is what's been clear over here. Finally, one last question. What did the Meraglim have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu not going into the land? At the very end of the Aliyah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem got angry with me because of you and I didn't go into the land. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not barred access from the land of Israel until much, much later. So Ramban says, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu is actually putting together the sins of the later generation of Meraglim and the sins of Meraglim to sort of put the two together to show that Moshe Rabbeinu is also suffering because of their stubborn nature. Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that doesn't really make sense because that happened really 39 years later and in different places, different generation. So rather it must mean the following, that if Moshe Rabbeinu had entered the land, as we know the Midrashim say, he would have built the base of Migdash, and the Migdash would have been so perfect that it would not be destructible, which means that when Bnei Yisrael might sin, God forbid, the anger, the wrath of God would have to be turned upon themselves. So when they sinned at the Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized and noticed that the people were vulnerable, that people were not going to, they were not going to be able to succeed in the land to the level that he had expected of them because they made bad decisions. And therefore, he said it's better that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go in, because then if it's not Moshe Rabbeinu who's building the Beis HaMikdash, then perhaps the Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed. When the wrath of Hashem has to come later on, it'll land on bricks and it'll land on stone, but it won't land on the nation of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, my lack of entrance is because of your vulnerability, and that's what he is suggesting. That's Aruch Haim idea, a very sad idea about another sacrifice the leader makes for the people. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.